Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pat and Heels, but not Heels today. He's MIA. This is incredible. Dane Zorka from Brisbane played last night.
Vossi, I went to bed last night, and Dane Zorka was still on the field, and he's fronted up for breakfast radio.
Yeah, not just interview. He's co-hosting the show with Paddy Welsh. Now, we're able to say, come in, Pat and Dane, right now. Are they there?
Vossi, yes, we are here, and I do have the magician sitting opposite me. He says he got to bed about 12:30 last night, still buzzing because he won his first Marcus Ashcroft medal as best on ground last night, had 39 disposals. The Lions get their season back on track, and it was Q Clash. It was his 23rd Q Clash, so he's been around a while, hasn't he? But yeah, he's pumped.
Game high disposals. Game high, yeah. Dane. So what a performance by you. How's the head today? You must be a bit sleepy. You must be tired.
As I was just saying to Paddy, I got home and had a quick debrief with the wife and I thought, oh, no, I'm in trouble here. I'm not getting to sleep. knew the alarm was set for 4:50. However, I got horizontal, turned the IPL on, and I was asleep, and before I knew it, I was up again.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Hang on a second. Now you've thrown something in there, Dane. You said, I've had a debrief with the wife. Is she like your biggest critic? Like, do you get home? Is it talking about what's happened on your day, or is it the other half actually talks about your match performance? How does that work, the debrief?
Oh, no, she was just... I didn't really get to see her after the match, given it was so late, and... Had a press conference commitment that I had to get to, so I was just before she was, I mean, her eyes were hanging out of her head. She was gone as well. But just a quick, how was your day? And not a bad
right.
game.
It wasn't like you got a few chores to do just before you go to bed. Can you just attend to that leaking tap in the second bathroom? Now, Dave, here's a serious topic for you. First of all, let's start from this point. Have you ever played in an AFL game where there has been a female official? That's the first thing we have to ask.
Yes. Yes, okay. We have. We have a female umpire, Eleni Gluftis, who's been a league umpire for a number of years.
Okay, so we have a situation where on the weekend, and in isolation, there are some photos that are, you know, don't look great. Big player David Clemmer enraged, you know, going off in front of Casey Badger. We just want to know, it is human nature for male, female, in a game, your sports person, heat of battle, all of that, you then want to let off steam and you go up and there's the umpire in your face and suddenly you realise, no, this is a female. Do you pull back? Do you naturally pull back or do you notice that it is female, male, official?
Yeah, you definitely notice. There's no doubt about that. I can 100% say you know who's out there and who's officiating. I'm looking at the photos right now and, yeah, you can see that they weren't happy with the call, clearly. I mean, but you've got to put that aside. And given what's happened in society over the last month or even, you know, longer than that with, you know, domestic violence and stuff like that towards women, we need to be, as professional athletes, doing everything we possibly can to set the best standard and look in all of our sports towards women, and these two boys unfortunately got it wrong on the weekend. But yeah, we as athletes and being role models in the community, we need to be a lot better than that.
So Dane, just to underline that, you look up, you see a female official, you're saying that rather than empowering you to try and force yourself to get a decision in your favour, you'd actually lean the way of showing male to female respect in a greater element than you would if it was two blokes, umpire, player, arguing about a point.
I think it's really important that everyone's out there to do their job and do it to the best of their ability. It doesn't matter who they are. I think that it's just really important that, as I said, us being role models. Look, I've got an 8-year-old son who plays rugby league now as well, and I don't like it when he's back chatting the umpire. It's just not, and because they see us doing it on TV, it's just not the standard that we need to be setting. We're in a shortage in all of our games at the moment of referees. There's no doubt about that, and officiating. And we at the top levels need to set a way better example than what we're doing at the moment. And look, I'm certainly not hiding from the fact that I've been horrible in this area for my whole career. But now that I'm coming through with my son in both AFL and rugby league and seeing, you know, just the mistreatment and how it's all handled, there's got to be a change. And, you know, we need to bite our tongue as players and just move on and forget about it. The decision's been made. No one's going to go back and reverse it. We need to move on with it.
Paddy, let's get independent voice in it. Like, we've watched sport. I think we all believe that football players, as in soccer players, are the worst in the world at getting in the face of officials. Now, they did announce going into this EPL season they were going to be a little tougher. I haven't probably watched close enough to see if it has improved at all, but I still see clips from, you know, you don't think it'll ever change in places like South America. You award a penalty and all 10 players will rush up, if not the goalkeeper as well, complain. I mean, who has to set the standards here? I mean, can it be reversed what happens on a sporting field? Dane's spoken very well there, but in the sport of football, soccer, I don't know whether they can change.
Well, I know, and as you know, in some places in South America, the consequences can be far more dire for the officiators. But look, both these guys have copped, Sam Hughes and Clemmer have copped fines. I think maybe sin bin. And then they say, well, are they only sin bin because it was a female officiator? I'm with Zorks, and then we know the AFL have just had a round devoted to highlighting domestic violence and being much better in that area. So, yeah, possibly more severe action and maybe sin bins. And, you know, all of a sudden your team is down to 12 men.
Well, Paddy Dane, away from that issue, the big issue in rugby league or theme of the weekend was injuries and often to key players. Now, the question to you two Brisbane residents is, can the Broncos survive this period without Adam Reynolds? Dane, your Lions survived an injury toll last night to get the job done and to win that contest. But can the Broncos stay in the NRL race without Adam Reynolds, Pat?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, I think. As Zork said at the start of the show, you just know when he leads them out, that there seems to be an air of calmness across the other 12 players that follow him onto the field, and that's not going to be there for the best part of 3 or 4 months now. They're talking, you know, a little bit better prospects of maybe back round 22. Jesse Arthurs with his broken jaw, he'll undergo surgery as well. I mean, Corey Oates comes in and takes that spot. Kevy said that Reece Walsh won't go into the halves, so that leaves possibly Ezra Mam to wear the 7. And young Sala to go to 5'8". Well, while Jock Madden is out. Jock Madden could even be back this week. But look, if that's the case, Tristan Sala to 5'8", and Ezra Mam to the 7.
I've got some arguments that might enthuse you, because if Adam Reynolds does get back round 22, he'll miss 10 games because there are two byes along the way. Yep. Only 4 of those 10 games are against current top 8 opponents. So if they were to go maybe win 6 of those 10, then they'd return with an 11-7 record, which would have them in 5th or 6th using last year's ladder as a guide. So,
okay,
you know, they don't need to win all their games. They can come back with a fit, fresh Adam Reynolds, theoretically, if they do collect, you know, 6 of those 10, around the top 4 still. So their draw with 4 games against top 8 teams in the next 10 is good for them.
Matty, my argument is this origin period is going to be one of the most important for the Broncos going forward. I mean, you're going to lose Carrigan, Haas, Walsh. There's going to be someone else in there as
maybe
well.
Maybe Cobbo, so, Stags, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a really, really difficult period for the Broncos. So their next few games, they need to get right. There's no doubt Kevy would have mentioned this amongst the group, or at least flagged it with his coaching staff, that this period's going to be so important And have they got the depth to cover? If they can, well, sure, they'll be able to win the comp without Reynolds having a massive hand in the home and away season. But if they get this period wrong, it could be a little bit of a slippery slope for them.
Good take.
All right, Dane, enough of the serious sport now. You're welcome to the to this segment for the first time. Now we're going to go off on a bit of a tangent. First of all, we're going to talk some lawn bowls. Bakes on the text here in Sydney. Pat wants to know, are you commentating the Australian Open lawn bowls this year on the Gold Coast? It's a big question on this Monday morning. Pat, any word or you want to keep that under your hat?
Well, no, I haven't been approached yet. I did the world titles on the Gold Coast some time ago.
Basil Brush.
Exactly right. I haven't been approached.
So. All right. Now, the sport of fencing gets a mention today in our neck of the woods because we have a new producer here on the breakfast show in Sydney. Yes. Mindy has come on board. Now, she was a one-time Olympic hopeful as a fencer. Now, I made the observation, I don't know about you, I've never met a fencer in my life, like someone who does fencing for a sport. Do you know anyone who does fencing? Would you know where to go to if you wanted to take up fencing? What would you do? Have you ever seen anyone walking down the street with an epi and the gear? I haven't. Like, is it some secret cult to be a fencer that you just keep it to yourself? You don't. Any of you guys know fencers?
Yes.
What?
I do.
No. Well,
I can tell you why. I mean, as you know, well, I'm a very proud ambassador for Dementia Australia. And one of the ladies from Sydney who is a leading researcher into the probable CTE, of which Wally has been at the forefront lately, twice in Canberra in the last few weeks, and has been instrumental in securing some really good research money from the government, Dr. Rowena Mobbs. Remember the name, Vossie and Maddie? I mean, she is an absolute marvel. She is leading the research into the causes of probable CTE, and we know it's, you know, from repeated head knocks, which is the topic du jour at the moment. But she was a champion modern pentathlete and also a very, very good fencer. So there we go.
Well, that's a was.
I've heard it all.
Okay, so you've ticked the box. You've met a fencer. Any fencers out there? Now, Dane, when you have AFL training, a lot of football teams and sports teams, coaches introduce different activities. You might go go-karting. You might bring out the soccer ball. You'll do something different. Has any coach in your time who said, guys, today, put on the white gear, put on the box, and we're going to fence and stab each other?
It'll be good for reaction work. Great for reaction work. Moving the body, getting the limbs going in all different directions. Great for footwork as well. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't gone down that path yet, but you never know. We've had all sorts of things come into pre-season camps.
Can fencing make a comeback? Can we say today is the turning point for the sport of fencing? With Mindy coming on board the program, we're now going to talk fencing on a regular basis. Can we bring it back? Has anyone out there got any desire to grab an epi or a sabre, is that the two forms, and go fencing?
Posse, Josh at Beacon Hill has taken a very liberal definition of fencing. He says, there was some epic sword fighting amongst my brothers and I around the Royal Dalton 40-odd years ago.
Oh, dear.
There's the show. There's the show going to new heights.
I know Shane Webke does a lot of fencing, but it's not the stuff we're talking about.
On his farm. Hey, given that you've brought it back to footy, Pat, how are you going to fix these North Queensland Cowboys? What's going wrong with them?
I don't know. 10-0 in the blink of an eye the other night, and then, you know, what, 75 minutes later, Wayne's dancing in the aisles in the dressing sheds. I mean, I don't know. They've got real problems at the moment, haven't they? I mean, for the personnel that they've got, Matty, please. Yeah. I mean, he must be tearing what little hair he's got left out, Todd Payton.